Well, good morning again. And so today what we're going to be doing, we're going to take a little break. We're taking a brief break from the series that we were on, just talking about the Zoe life of God. I'm not quite finished with that yet. But I just believe, you know, Pastor Jamie preached last week, and she did a wonderful job, didn't she? Oh, man, girl. Not only is she extremely cute, but girl, you can preach. And so I just, again, reading through some of her notes, and I'm just really blessed and encouraged by a lot of that stuff in there. That's just a good reminder and kind of gets a heads up for us. And so we're taking this time to actually talk on this word that the Lord gave us during some time that we were praying as a leadership team. And this word kept coming up in us, and it was resensitize. Can you say that with me? Resensitize. And so I firmly believe that this is a word for us as a church family. For those that are joining us online, this is a word for you because you're part of our family, even though you may be living far away, you're part of us. But I believe that this is a word for you. And so again, if you're like saying, this is my first time here, well, welcome to the family. You might as well jump in because this is a great family to be a part of. But also, if you call this church, this is your home church, we're your pastors, I really want you to take heed because you may have gotten some word for yourself over the year of what God is going to be talking to you personally about, and praise God for that. But I also want to encourage you, take heed to these words as well, of this simple word of resensitize. Because I believe with all my heart that the Lord is calling us up. If I can say, we've got some pretty secure roots in this room. If I'm looking around, there's some mighty men and women in this room. We've got some solid roots. But I believe that there's a higher response that you and I are being asked to step into. And I just want to encourage us in that. And we're going to jump into that a little bit today. So the definition simply of resensitize is this. It means to make someone or something sensitive again. So it means at one point that they were sensitive, right? If you have to be resensitized, it means at one point you were sensitive, right? Okay, we're all okay on the same page. So what does it mean to be sensitive? Now this word sensitive means this. It means to be highly responsive. That's simply what it means. So I believe again as a church, and this isn't just for a select few. I'm talking to you. If you're thinking he's probably talking to somebody else. No, I'm talking to you this morning. Resensitize is crucial for us in these last days to be in sync with him, to flow and be in operation with him. Why? Because the times are short. The days are few. They're numbered, in fact. Not just talking about your natural life. I'm talking about this planet. Before Jesus comes and gets his bride, there is a job to fulfill. There is a devil to harass. There's a kingdom of darkness to invade. There's a kingdom to fill up with people. And you and I are part, co-laboring together with the Lord to fulfill a mandate on this earth. So part of this resensitized is actually awakening to the fact that there's more than just this 9-to-5 job that you may be taking on right now. You are meant for so much more than just getting a paycheck, paying a few bills, and hopefully, you know, getting some groceries on the table and making family a nice time. There's so much more to this. You are a part of a kingdom assignment. So part of what we're doing here, this is like the locker room gathering where we come and we get to lift up the name of Jesus. We come and hear from the presence of God. We come and get touched by the presence of God. Why? Because you and I were actually made for Mondays. World talks about living for the weekend. You and I live for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. You were made for this. And so while the world is just trying to get by, you and I are supposed to invade that. So this is part of the assignment that we're on. And so I want to encourage you, resensitize, resensitize, resensitize. Because right now, our hearts are sensitive. And when I say the word sensitive, I also want you to hear this word, highly responsive. So you and I, our hearts are highly responsive to something. For example, a couple of years ago, 2020, 2021, anybody remember those years? Yeah. Anybody try to not to remember those years? Those, I'm just going to be flat out garbage years. For myself, I'm going to just put it on me here for a moment. There was a moment in this during that season, when they call it the COVID time, it was absolutely frustrating to me as a person. I was extremely frustrated, and I became very sensitive to the political realm. What was I? I was highly responsive to the political realm. mostly frustrated, ticked off. Anybody else feel that with just me? Okay, just me? All right, good to know. What a holy church. You guys are such amazing people. Me now. I was highly responsive. And so actually the Lord had to correct me. I was in my home office. I was just spending some time with him, frustrated, crying, laughing, yelling, screaming, all of these things. What is going, this is, all of these things taking place. And the Lord actually said, what are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing? Don't you see what's happening? And so he actually led me to this verse, and I want to just show it to you because it may help you this morning, because it could be that you may still be highly responding to the political realm. And don't get me wrong, there is a lot of stuff that needs to be sorted out. So this is an advocate so they don't go, oh, we just kind of leave that alone. I'm not saying that in the slightest. What I'm saying is this. Look at this verse right here. Proverbs 23:17. It says, don't allow the actions of evil men to cause you to burn with anger. Instead, be highly responsive to something else. Instead, burn with unrelenting passion as you worship God in holy awe. My anger, my passion, my frustration was just, it was boiling hot, but it was pointed in the wrong direction. So I, instead of responding to the Lord, responding, because heaven's still moving. Heaven was still doing amazing things. Heaven's still moving forward, right? Although everything out here seemed to be moving backwards, heaven was moving in a forward direction. So instead of being able and responsive or highly sensitive to what heaven was doing, I'm now responding or being highly sensitive to what's taking place in the natural realm. Church, that's not our call. Now, I'm not saying not our call to get involved in the I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you and my response, we always must learn to respond to the higher purpose, which is the kingdom and the plan of God. Amen? Can I get an uh-huh on that? A little stronger, church. Uh-huh. All right. Now, again, I was just telling on me. Now, again, aiming to resensitize our hearts towards the Lord means that we get engaged, get our hearts engaged, meaning this, exposing more and more of our hearts to him. Exposing more and more of our hearts to him. Practicing his presence. There is a book that's actually called Practicing His Presence by two gentlemen, Brother Laubach and, Brother Lawrence and, thank you. All right, well, you want to just come finish up the preaching if you're, those two guys. And they basically, the whole premise of the book was really to try and test out, can God literally be on my day all day long? And they practice it. So what it is basically these guys' journal to try and attempt this so that the Lord is constantly on their mind. It is a beautiful story. It's beautiful journals in there, and you can hear kind of the things that they went through. It's something else. But for you and I, what we're doing is we're simply exposing our hearts to the Lord again. And this is crucial. We know this because whatever you and I are constantly looking at, whatever culture we are more aware of, that's what we're going to mirror on this planet, right? We know that from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So now what it doesn't mean is that we're not simply just going through the motions of Christianity or the motions of church, right? We're doing something a little bit differently, or we are on purpose engaging ourselves with him. Resensitize simply means this, that on purpose, I'm exposing my heart to God. What does resensitize mean? I am on purpose, not accidental. I am purposefully exposing my heart to the presence of God, okay? So now before we get started in this, in resensitizing our hearts, what we're doing and what we're gonna take this time to do is we're actually judging ourselves. Did you know that in the Bible, it talks a lot about judging yourself? Did you know that's a healthy thing to do? Not condemning yourself, judging yourself, to make sure that what you believe lines up with Scripture, to make sure how you're acting, how you're living, lines up that I actually follow Jesus. See, it's so easy when we judge ourselves. What am I judging? Not to anybody else. I'm not comparing myself with anybody else. What I'm doing is I'm judging myself according to the walk. Am I following Jesus? Do I look like him? Because ultimately, that's the goal, is to look like him. So I want you to see a couple of scriptures here. 1 Peter 4:17, just to give you a couple background verses on this. It says, the time has come. Say it with me, the time has come. The time has come for judgment. People love to just stop right there. Yeah, God is just judging the nations. No, hold on, read the verse. And the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with the political realm. That preaches real good. This doesn't get all the amens yet. Well, let me finish the verse. Judgment must come, and it must begin with God's house. So who dat? That's you. That's me. So it begins with you and I. Okay? Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. I like how it says it in the Message Bible. He says this, test yourselves. Come on, shout it out. Test yourself. Test. Test. Tests aren't bad. It's good. It's good to test yourself because you see where you're at. Test yourselves to make sure that you, not anybody else, but that you, this is a big one. I have to just hit this a few times. That you, that me, test myself to make sure that I am solid in the faith. I want to make sure that I'm not drifting along, taking everything for granted. I have to give myself regular checkups. We do it in the natural, right? Anybody have a checkup recently? Hey-o. Some of you are like, what's a checkup? Well, go to the doctor and I'm sure it's experience, right? Give yourselves regular checkups. Click. You need. Why do you have to give yourselves give yourselves regular checkups? Because you need. Come on, y'all. I need you to zone in here on me. You need. Not other people. Not me. I need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in me. I need to see it. I need to know it. I'm living the life so that world will look at me. No, I need to know that Jesus Christ is real, that there's fruit coming off of me as a branch, and that I'm starting to see the fruit of what Christianity is all about. That's the name of the game in this Christian walk. It's not just a bunch of rules that you got to live by. Jesus came so that, hey, you could produce fruit in the kingdom. That's what he's after. So he's saying, make sure that you give yourselves regular checkups because you need to have firsthand evidence, not just talk about it. You need evidence that Jesus Christ is in you. And he says, test it out. And if you fail the test, beat yourself up. Lay at the altar for 3 or 4 hours a day and maybe you'll be forgiven. No, he says, do something about it. Make the change. Allow the Spirit of God on the inside of you to go, hey, that way you're believing, it's not working. We got to change the way you think. Oh, okay. That's how the test. So the great news is you have the teacher living inside of you to show you how to do this. So again, all the testing and the judgment, it's a good thing. It's not this negative side. It's you and I making sure that I'm walking with the Lord. You know, Hebrews chapter 2 even talks about, make sure that you understand, make sure you pay attention to the things that we've been taught, lest we drift away and we start floating and thinking and talking and acting like the world does. You have to give yourselves and make sure that you aren't drifting. And drifting is very easy. Anybody ever drifted at sea before? Oh man, I tell you, I was all of a sudden, I had a line. This is Jamie and I, when we were in Mexico, this is a while ago now, and all of a sudden I was like, okay, there's my wife. There she is. And I'm just playing in the water because she's reading a book. I'm looking for a friend in the water to play with. And so all of a sudden I'm talking with, you know, I met a buddy from Chicago and here we are hanging out. Next thing I know, I look up and my wife wasn't there. Why did she leave? Jamie, where did you go? Jamie, back to your seat, please. No, I drifted. She was still in her book. When she's in a good book, you can't get that girl off the chair. Anybody else can relate to that? Oh man, you get a good book, you are in that chair. She didn't move. Well, the Father's the same way. God never leaves. He's never going to abandon you. Yet God's not going to change his ways. God's not changing his method of operation. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is in that chair and he is not moving. So you and I have to make sure that we aren't drifting from where he's at. That's our job, is to make sure I'm not on some kind of drift, wandering off and listening to everybody that's talking and listening over here. Oh, what do they got to say? And all of a sudden we go, God, where are you? He's going, I'm in my chair over here. Stop drifting. Get back to what I said. So that's where you and I have to judge ourselves to make sure that Jesus Christ is in us. We still okay with that? Okay, now good. So now the part of us. Now, I know a lot of you already know these things, but it's good to just to hear it again. The part of us that is supposed to be sensitive or resensitized to the Lord is our spirit. Why? Because your spirit is in direct communication, in direct line with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are the temple of God, where the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Woo! What a truth that is. What a reality that is. That he's not just somewhere out here. He's right here. So the part of me, again, that's getting resensitized is my spirit man. Now, I want to just lay out a few things for us. But the Lord, he deals with the spirit. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Again, verses you may know, but it's good just to hear it again. Because what's the temptation, especially in the culture where we live in, where we're such a feeling culture. I feel this way. My emotions are just like this. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff, but they can't be the leader or they can't be the thing to tell you what's actually true and what's not. We have to allow the Spirit on the inside that's led by the Spirit of God to reveal truth to us. Okay? So this is what the Bible says. So again, is the Bible our final authority? So then we have to make sure that we aren't drifting from the Father. This is what the Father says. Okay? The Father says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the inner parts of his being. Another way of saying it, it's that the spirit is the light bulb of the Lord. And what's he doing? He's examining everything on the inside. So if God is going to direct you and I, if God is going to speak to you and I, if God is going to correct, if God is going to guide, if God is going to reveal, where is he going to do it? It's an open book test, y'all. I just read it. Where is it? Our spirit being. He's going to lead you where? From my spirit. If he's going to talk to you, where is he going to talk? So if I'm spending so much time, even in my mental realm, in my emotions or my feelings, looking and just hoping for God to speak to me there, you will be disappointed. Why? Because God's not talking there. God is not revealing himself there. Now, don't get me wrong. When he illuminates your spirit and revelation knowledge comes, boom, it'll slap your brain right side up. I see it. That absolutely does happen. But where did it come from? It came from the inside out. Remember, God is an inside out working God. Okay, so again, we're talking all about resensitize, becoming sensitive or highly responsive again. Well, if I'm going to be responding to God, I have to know where God is going to be working inside, where he's going to be working, which is inside me. Okay, now I want you to look at this verse here, Psalm 32. Now, this is a promise from the Lord. The Lord is saying this, I hear the Lord saying. Now, who's talking? Come on, y'all. Who is speaking? The Lord is speaking. And what does he say? I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Now notice the next verse. He says, so don't make it difficult. Doesn't that sound like a dad? Anybody can hear their dad's voice in their ear right now going, don't be difficult. He's right here. I can hear it. Why do you have to make it so difficult? Why do you have to make it so difficult? So the Lord simply said, I will do all this. So he says, don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn, or in other words, desensitized. When I take you where you've not been before, don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. Can you hear your father? Not in this, just come with me. It's, can you just come with me? Well, in order to just go along and not be difficult, I have to be sensitive, or I have to be resensitized again, because again, it works on the inside. Because listen, God is constantly leading. God is constantly talking. But what happens is on the inside, we miss it because we're desensitized to him. So a lot of times people think, well, I've sinned, I've messed up, and that's it. God just can't talk to me anymore. No. That's not it at all. He's constantly speaking. What I'm doing is I'm just making sure my spirit can hear him properly. So we'll find out here in a sec, but I'm in charge of my spirit. Next verse I want you to look at here is 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Again, the Lord deals with the heart. This is what the Lord said to Samuel after he was looking to pick the next king after Saul. Samuel asked, he said, God told him, go to Jesse. My next king is there. All right, so Jesse, you got your boys? He lines them up. I think there's, six or seven of them lined up. And all of a sudden, Samuel looks and he sees Eliab and he goes, Eliab is buff 10. He's like a macho man, just ripped like me. I can see it because I'm wearing black. So it's black is so forgiving. Eliab shows up and Samuel goes, surely that's the man. That is God's next king. He looks like a king. His beard is solid. Looks like Robert over there with a beard. Robert, could you stand up for a sec so people can just see what, come on, Robert, just have a quick stand. Come on, quick. That's our man, Robert. Look at that thing. So you look at that guy and you go, surely God's anointed, right? And he is, don't get me wrong, Robert is. But Samuel looks at this guy and he goes, surely he must be, because he's looking on the outside. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, because I've rejected him actually. Huh? Now think, this is a prophet doing a big task for the nation of Israel, selecting a new king. And to hear God say, don't look at his height or his stature. That's not what I'm looking at. Look at that next part here, guys. It says, the Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. He doesn't see things the way that you see them. Why? Because people judge by the outward appearance. But the Lord, what is the Lord looking at? The heart. He's looking at the heart. So what do I want? I want to make sure that my heart is attractive to him. What's attractive to him? Sensitive. It's highly responsive, highly responding to him. Look at this, 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth to and fro, other translations say, to strengthen those whose hearts. So this matter right here is a heart issue. It's a heart matter. He's looking throughout the whole earth. Man, I want God to all of a sudden stop in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, and go, that church, their hearts, I can work with. There's things that I cannot just only do for them, I can do through them to impact generations for Jesus. I can see that. I see that heart. That's what we're talking about. So this isn't about Christian conduct. That will follow suit. Because once you get your heart totally exposed and connected with the Lord, behaviors and attitudes follow. So this isn't about you and I trying to change the outside guy and say, well, don't say that at church. Lift my hands. I need to be a little bit more, that's great. But how is it going to come? You and I exposing ourselves to Jesus and allowing him now to absolutely touch our heart where we go, oh, I want more of that. Because when you genuinely get touched, feel that feel, all those things that you may have spiritually experienced before, that's not just meant for 1982. That's meant for 2024. It's supposed to be a regular occurrence. And here's the thing, your soul doesn't know necessarily what your soul wants. I need to tell my soul what it needs. Same way in the natural. When you eat a salad, waiting for that salad to kick in at some point, rather than just, scarfing down the sugar, all of a sudden when I'm starting to see the effects of what a salad will do, the energy that I feel, the workouts that you have, you go, I want more of that actually. And my change of taste begins to take place. It's the same with the presence of God. It's the exact same way. But you have to expose yourself to the green salad in order to get the results. Okay. Now, so the first part, the Lord deals with the spirit of man, the heart of man, okay? Next I want us to see is that we trust the Lord from our hearts. This whole relationship is a heart-to-heart relationship. You may be trying and working extra hard trying to believe something. Believing isn't difficult. But you know why it's difficult? It's because to you, it's a mind thing. You don't believe with your mind. It's a heart thing. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, familiar verse. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your brain. Trust in the Lord with all your feelings. No, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and then don't lean on your own understanding. Why does he say that? Because there will be times when what he says looks different from what I see. So he's saying, I have to stick with what he says when out here is telling me something different. Like what Pastor Julian just did over the offering. Wow, how come I'm not seeing breakthrough in finances? It's because you are seeing things from a natural perspective. And he also said that it's not about it, if you do, God will. It's about following a system of how he does things. Your financial way of thinking is totally skewed. Where did you get that understanding? Where did you get that learning? Save all you can all you get, sit on the can. Don't touch my money. It's mine. I worked for it. Well, if you're living like that, it's going to be really hard to start understanding and start really participating in the kingdom's ways of operating. This is his kingdom. It's how he does things. He operates completely different. So I have to learn to get off of what I think and what I feel and what I want and what I desire and start going, Lord, I'm interested in what you have to say about this. And at those moments, you start finding out the Lord will flood you not only with his love, but through his love, he says, let me show you how I do things. Completely opposite of what the world tells you and I. So where do I trust? All of a sudden, God says, hey, I want you to step out and do this. And you're going, oh, but none of, like my home looks like this. My family order, I don't know how I can do this. There may be times when what he says looks different from what I'm experiencing. I have to make the choice. I'm going to go with what he says. How does somebody get there, though? Like, if I can, again, Robert and Vicky Marin, powerful family over here. They left Stettler. They lived in Stettler. And do you know why they moved here? Can you answer that just to make sure? He moved for the church. People go, what's wrong with you? I go, what's right with them? How do you think that way? How do you even come to that level where you go, I'm going to do that? Your heart is sensitive and you trust the Lord from here. You can't just say, oh, I trust you, Lord, and okay, we'll figure all this out. I have to come from a sensitive spot. So you can see sensitiveness is vital in the Christian life. You cannot follow Jesus and be desensitized to him. It's impossible. And I think that's what the Lord was saying to me, because I've recommitted myself over and over these couple days, just going, Lord, I think I've seen where I've missed it. I'm trying to be like you apart from you. It doesn't work that way. So what do we make? We make up our own Jesus to follow, thinking that's what he's like, and realizing, going, actually, he's not really that way. So what do I have to do? Lord, I repent of a desensitized heart. Here I am. Teach me. Coach me again. Show me the right way. That's what the verse that Jamie ended on, Psalm 139. Lord, if there's any path in me that doesn't lead to everlasting life, change me. Because listen, he's in his chair. He's got his book. He ain't leaving. So if I'm off drifting and going, God, where are you? Right here. So let's just drift on back and stay put. Are we still okay? Okay, now, look at this. Jesus said this to his disciples in Mark 11:22. This is right after Jesus cursed a fig tree. It withered, died, dried up from the roots. Peter said, look, master, the tree that you cursed is now withered and dried up. Look what Jesus said. Have faith in God. It is so hard to trust God when you're not sensitive to him. It makes it so difficult because instead you're kind of following blindly something he said and you don't really know him. So what is he calling us into? A relationship, an intimacy relationship, so that I know him. And when I know him and he says something, I go, oh, I don't just know the command or what he said, I know him. And that's what we're getting to. Sensitize again. Next verse, I want you to see this is Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, and again, it's hard to have faith if we're not sensitive. without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please Him. For whoever comes near to God must believe that God is and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. So what pleases God? Faith. How do you develop this faith? I know for myself, well, just spend time in the Word. Just spend time in the Word. True, but you can't just view faith like, well, if I just read enough Bible, then faith will just kind of magically fall on me. No, faith is the result of actually being sensitive to someone again. My complete dependency upon God totally demands me being sensitive to the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I have to know. How come me and Jamie, we know each other? I trust this woman with my life. How did we get there? We've been married for almost 16 years. How did we get there? There's this intimate understanding of each other. I know her. I know looks that she gives. I know what she's thinking. I'm really good at it. Give me a look. She's obsessed with me. Give me another one. There's just look after look, and I go, girl, I understand. I know what you're saying. We understand. There's that working knowledge. Well, it's the same way with our Father. Now, look at these. I do have this on the screen. Look at these. I mean, if you read Hebrews 11, it is a beautiful chapter. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Isaac. And the list goes on and on. It even says, by faith, Rahab. Rahab. Who's Rahab? A prostitute. So there was some connection with the Lord that she found out and touched that her life was spared. If a prostitute can do it, so can you. How amazing is our Father? No matter what kind of life you come from, He wants that intimate relationship with you. Woo! But I want you to read this. Look at this. In verse 32, I'm going to read a couple of verses. And He says, and what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith. And every time we hear faith, I want you to also think my dependency upon God, which is a direct result of being resensitized to Him. Now look what took place. Enough time to tell you all the of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Click. It says, through faith's power. Now, how's faith's power? We just kind of think, they were just born with stars over their head. No. No. There was a sensitiveness. There was a desire to get close to God. There was a hunger in these men and women. There was a desire. I want to know this Creator. I want to be so close to them. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms. This isn't about hoop hollering. Lord, we're just praying for you to take over Canada, and you can get a lot of people applauding. But more importantly, Lord, I want to be sensitive to you so that we can actually do it together. We're just hoping we just pull down a lever and hope one of these prayers stick, and then God just miraculously does something in Canada. He's going to do it through you and I. But if we're not sensitive to Him, if we're just responding and reacting to every natural thing on the outside, we're going to miss it. So He's calling us in. He's calling us up. I need you close. I need you sensitized so that you can, when I say jump, you say how high. When I say go right, you go right. When I say go left, it's left it is. You want me to back up? I back up. Lord, how do you want this to flow? So He says, looking at all these, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouths of lions, put out the power of raging fire, and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. Although weak, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Come on, church, I don't see a weak church at all. When you read the scriptures, I see a powerhouse of people. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle. And how does it all start? To be a mighty warrior, I'm extremely sensitive. Sissy, no. David, cutting off a giant's head and holding it up. And he showed the Israelites, that's how you get ahead in life. Sorry, bad pun, I'm sorry. I think he plastered that on his, in the living room. Looky here. That's really bad, I know. But David, we see this, but yet you don't see him with a harp in the fields, crying his eyes out to the Lord, Lord, I love you. There's a sensitiveness. So you can't be this rah, 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 unless you have a quiet time with the Lord and you are absolutely weeping at his feet. Because the highest place that I'll ever be is at his feet. So don't call yourself a warrior unless you're at the feet of Jesus and you're ready to just, when he says, I want you down, I'm down. The same warrior, I'll wash the feet. Absolutely, I will. Pulling armies from another realm. How do you do that? I have a sensitive spirit. Into battle array, verse 35, I believe. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power, yet it was faith that enabled others to endure great atrocities. They were stretched out on the wheel and tortured and didn't deny their faith in order to be freed because they longed for a more honorable and glorious resurrection. Wow. Man, the amount of people that have died for this gospel and they didn't let go of it and said, kill me, I ain't leaving. Wow, how do you get that? There's a sensitivity of heart. Others were mocked and experienced the most severe beating with whips. They were in chains and imprisoned. Some of these faith champions were brutally killed by stoning, being sawn in two, or slaughtered by the sword. These lived in faith as they went about wearing goatskins and sheepskins for clothing. They lost everything they possessed. They endured great afflictions and they were cruelly mistreated. They wandered the earth, living in the desert wilderness, in caves, on barren mountains, and in holes in the earth. Truly, the world was not even worthy of them, not realizing who they were. Oh, these were the true heroes. Commended for their faith, yet they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what God promised them. But now God has invited us to live in something better than what they had, faith in its fullness. This is so that they could be brought to finished perfection alongside of us. How did all of these things take place? Sensitivity of heart. Because what's with my heart, man believes. That's how you got saved. You believed in your heart and you spoke with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And the moment the greatest miracle took place, you got born again. You got changed where? On the inside. Now I got to finish up here quickly. You know, another way the Bible also tells us, I don't have this on the screen, but 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. How do you do that? Unless you're sensitive to the Spirit of God. You cannot walk by faith and ignore what you see out here without being sensitive to the Spirit of God. So can you see how important this resensitized is? This is how we walk. This is how we live our life. If I'm not sensitive to the Lord, I'm going to be reacting or responding to something or someone. Cool. Next I want us to see is that life flows from the heart. Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. Other translation, I believe it's the King James Version, that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, above all. I mean, you read the book of Proverbs. What is the book of Proverbs? It's wisdom. It's filled with wisdom and insight. It's God telling you how to do life, how to handle finances, what to do with your wife, how to treat your children, what to do in the job, how to bring success to your business. It's all in there. But above all, when you see these three words, so above all, this is a huge deal to God. Why? Because it's spirit-to-spirit relationship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. It all comes from this place. I worship God from my heart. I give from my heart. I serve from my heart, from my heart. Everything comes from your heart. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything flows from this place. So if it's not sensitive to the Lord, who are you sensitive to? You can hear it based on what people say, how they act. They are responding to something constantly. And I believe the Lord is here to wake us up to say, come back. I need you close to me so that you're responding to me. He goes on. So above all, guard the affections of your heart. Why? Because they affect all that you are. Pay attention to your innermost being, for from here, life flows. We think life happens. No, life flows from you. Y'all, if you can get it, this is huge. Life is flowing from what's going on the inside. To finish this up, James 4:8, so this is what God says, bring your heart closer to me and God will come closer to you. What am I bringing closer to God? It's my heart. So now, what am I saying, or what do I want us to see with all of this? That I am in control of my spirit. I am in control of my heart. This is a kingdom of choice, not chance. You and I are part of a kingdom of choice, not chance. I get to choose what my heart is exposed to. I get to choose what my heart is sensitive to. So if this is a good checkup for yourself. If it's hard to sing to the Lord throughout your week, check on what's going on the inside of you. If all of a sudden you hear we're receiving tithes and offerings and you get irritated by that, check it out, because it shouldn't be. If all of a sudden we're gonna pray over somebody right now, check it out. Okay. What am I saying with all this? Is that I am in charge of my heart. Therefore, I am in control of how sensitive, how responsive I am to God. I am in control of how much of God I want. Oh. Listen, if the Father had his way, he would just come in here and grab you all up. But he's not an invasive God. He only comes, listen, we got to grasp this. He's an amazing dad, but he will only come where he is welcomed. So part of us is learning how to receive again the presence of the Lord. We kind of think, okay, I'm going to go see King Jesus right now. Well, listen, you got taken out of the kingdom of darkness. You're in the kingdom of God's dear son. That's not protocol. There's protocol. What's protocol? I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I come into his courts with praise. Lord, I am so thankful for the life that you've given me. It's your breath in my lungs. Thank you that I'm alive. I got the life of God flowing in me. And you start entering this way. You start seeing, oh, that was a beautiful time. Well, because you came in the right way. So part of it is just learning to be sensitive to the ways of the Lord again. This world is doing everything it can to desensitize us from the presence of God from which you came from. I'm in control of how much of God I experience. I am in control of how much I walk out God's plan for my life. That's not God's job, that's mine. And what's going to help us greatly is becoming sensitive again to him. Last verse I want you to read with me. But Jesus paid the ultimate price to rebirth our spirit to be in complete connection with our Heavenly Father. The new covenant that he came and established through his blood has made our spirits perfect. And when I was reborn through belief and confession of the Lord Jesus, this is the spirit that he gave me. Look at this, Ezekiel chapter 36, 25 through 27. It says, this is what the Lord is saying. Talking about a new covenant he's going to establish. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer be worshiping idols. Verse 26, and I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out the old, stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender and woo! What kind of heart is it? It's a responsive heart, a sensitive heart again. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey all my regulations. So that's the spirit that God gave you. He gave you a sensitive, soft spirit. Amen? That's what you got right now. It's there. You may go, oh man, it just seems a little bit difficult for me. Well, great. So this, what I want to do is I want to challenge you this week. It's called resensitize steps. 10, 10, 10. Very simple. Some of you may be an hour. Wonderful. Maybe you're four hours. Good for you. But right now we're going to start with 10, 10, 10. And what does that mean? 10 minutes in the Word. Why? Why do I have to read my Bible? You got to expose yourself to truth. Because God is not just in this book. He is the book, right? 10 minutes praying. Next one is 10 minutes of praying just in other tongues. Do you know how powerful this is? Because the Bible says he who prays in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. He builds himself up. Do it. Well, I'm just waiting for a special meeting. Don't. You need to come to that special meeting ready. Sensitive, right? And lastly, 10 minutes of praise and thanksgiving. 10, 10, 10. So what are we doing tomorrow? I'm doing my resensitize. My resensitize steps, just like you may be doing some stretches every morning. This is what my dad does, just, yeah, I'm ready for the day. Hey, if that's your workout, praise God. I just can't figure out how he can still beat me in an arm wrestle. I have no idea where that comes from. Yeah, good, great. So you're sensitized, you're sensitive, your body a little bit, you're a little more limber, but how about your spirit man, the real you? So let's just do this 10, 10, 10. I'm going to challenge you to this. Can we do it? Yes. Will you do it? Yes. All right, so six of you said yeah. Again, what's the purpose of all this? Resensitize. Because there are things that God is trying to get across your pathway that we're not seeing. It's because he's not drifting. He's the same. We just need to hear him. Amen. Let's all stand up together for a moment.